It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And in the studio, Manya Brashear-Pashman, who is the religion reporter for the Chicago Tribune. And as we've discussed in the past, I'm Catholic and proud to be a Catholic, although I could be a better Catholic. Mm-hmm. And there's a listener who gets irritated every time I say that you're half Catholic and half Jewish.
They call me out on that.
They say that's impossible, but you can be.
I'm the offspring of a Jewish man and a Catholic woman, so.
So we are going to talk about this new pope who everybody is raving about from all different religions. And Pope Francis over the weekend said that Christians and the Roman Catholic Church should seek forgiveness from homosexuals for the way they had treated them. I'm sure, Manya, you saw this over the weekend. To me, this is a huge deal.
It is. And this is just another example of Pope Francis saying what's on his mind while he's on the papal plane. It was one of those impromptu press conferences. And it was during one of those impromptu press conferences in 2013 when he uttered the famous phrase, "Who am I to judge?"
Mm-hmm.
Which has been quoted and quoted and quoted ever since. Of course, conservative Catholics say that it has been misquoted or misinterpreted. But he repeated it on the papal plane over the weekend, at least a different version of it, saying that, you know, if someone is a person, if a gay person, you know, seeks God and is a person of goodwill, then who are we to judge? You know, repeating that famous phrase. And so, and I like how you said he said Christians and Catholics should seek forgiveness, because he said more than just we should apologize. He said we should seek forgiveness. And I think that there is a difference, at least in the Christian world, there is a difference.
Absolutely. So. And now this was on the heels of the tragic Orlando shooting as well, that he was asked about this. And he recalled church teachings that homosexuals, quote, should not be discriminated against. They should be respected, accompanied pastorally. And then he went on to say, I think that the church not only should apologize to a gay person whom it offended, but it must also apologize to the poor as well, to the women who have been exploited, to children who have been exploited by being forced to work. It must apologize for having blessed so many weapons. Mm-hmm. That to me is very deep. I know he's not changing any doctrines, but it's like, welcome to me as a Catholic, that's like they're welcoming anyone, and that golden rule comes to play. Treat others as you yourself would like to be treated. I paraphrase that, but do unto others as you would like them to do unto you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be nice to people.
It seems so easy and basic, so why isn't it that easy and basic?
Well, I think that that there are a lot of expectations that are actually imprinted on the things that he says, and people set very, very high bar for these expectations. You're right. No doctrine has changed here. And he has been saying these things since 2013. He's been saying, you know, these very kind words, but he has not changed any doctrine. And I think there were some really high expectations placed on the Synod of Bishops that met last fall. The Pope issued a document from that Synod on family life, and that there were some really high expectations about what it would say about same-sex marriage or the treatment of gay people in the Catholic Church. And it didn't say much at all, except we should welcome everyone in the church. But the door is closed on same-sex marriage still. And, you know, there were some bishops, including Chicago's own Archbishop, Blaise Supich, who was very much in favor of providing pathways to communion, to receiving communion for gay couples in relationships. And, you know, that was not brought up or included in the Synod document. So, you know, there are, like I said, there are high expectations that aren't always met. So, you know, do unto others for some doesn't quite make it.
Yeah.
So how do we go from these very positive words and messages, mm-hmm. which right now are just words and messages, how do we go from there to the actual changing of doctrine? Are we going to see that anytime soon, do you think?
Anytime soon is a relative term when it comes to the Catholic Church. Anytime soon could be 500 years.
Oh.
let's move this in perspective here.
Yeah.
But, you know, how do you change doctrine? Well, synods, bishops, right? I mean, bishops from around the world gather, representing their church in their context. And that's what happened in the fall, is that people from yes, the United States of America, but also Africa and Europe, and they all gathered, and you know, they have to come up with a consensus of sorts. And when doctrine is changed, it's not just something that the Pope can snap his fingers and instantly make happen. He probably could, but it probably wouldn't be received very well, actually. but
yeah, it's like president having to answer to Congress and Senate and everybody. There's safeguards in place so that one person can't just change things.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's a fairly good analogy. I mean, I do think it's a little different in the church, but you know, I think that there is certainly an approach that this Pope advocates for, and that is synodical. You know, the synodical approach,
yeah,
where you want the bishops to be on board. You want
sure.
everybody to be on board with church teachings,
mm-hmm.
and it's a universal church. You want everybody to agree. You want to do God's will as well.
Yeah,
right? I mean, you want to do what the Holy Spirit is moving you to do. That's what they believe.
I'm curious. Say you have a gay couple and they have a baby and they bring the baby into the church. Like when I got my kids baptized, there's like a little class that the parents go to. And I wonder if, I mean, they would probably baptize the baby.
Probably so.
It's a church by church basis with things like that,
but
right,
that's
now,
isn't not it? Marrying a couple. That's
right.
Blessing a child.
Right.
But I know there are gay people that go to my church, and I feel bad for them. Our church makes them feel welcome, but in the grand scheme of things, they're kind of not welcome.
Mm. No, I think that baptizing a child is not something that a priest would oppose, or that church teachings would oppose, to baptize that child.
Even though it's being raised by two men or two women.
Yeah, I mean, that child's parents may not be able to receive communion in the church, but their child eventually might be able to, especially if they're raising them Catholic.
Right.
Isn't that sort of hypocritical, sort of? You don't think so?
I don't necessarily think so.
No.
I don't, you know, that child is not violating church teachings. I mean, the church does not consider homosexuality a sin. They consider acting homosexual acts to be a sin. They expect a homosexual couple to remain chaste.
It's okay to be gay,
homosexuals to remain chaste.
So they're saying be gay.
No sex,
but
Bill.
Don't have sex.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so, you know, that child isn't, as long as that child is chaste,
then it's okay.
They're not sinning. Yeah,
but for the heterosexual world, you're not supposed to have premarital sex. Not supposed to be on birth control.
Right.
And devout Catholics are against all that stuff. And then there are some other Catholics that kind of pick and choose and feel like, you know what, God forgives, and I want to go to church every Sunday, and maybe I've sinned, and those who haven't throw the first stone.
Yeah. That's they call them cafeteria Catholics.
Right.
And there are a lot of them. In fact, most of them, right?
Yeah.
In the question of the baptism, I don't think that they would hold it against that child. And, you know, the big question that was talked about so much in that Synod of Bishops was what happens to divorced and remarried Catholics who also feel quite alienated
yes.
from the Catholic Church, because they are unable to receive communion if they have not gotten an annulment of that first marriage. And that was really the issue that got so much focus. And that was the issue that Archbishop Supich was initially addressing, during a press conference in Rome. He talked about the need to provide pathways to reconciling with the church and to trust people's spiritual lives to those people, and to respect that and you know, allow them or kind of accompany them, to use the Pope's word and archbishops, to accompany them through that journey, and to do what they think is right in their own conscience. And he believes the same about gay people in relationships as well. So there are a number of people who feel alienated by the church for one reason or another.
Sometimes when I was a kid, if there were people in the parish that got a divorce and they needed an annulment and they were stalling, if you made a contribution to the church, they found a way to get that annulment kind of fast track. Does that still go on? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I have not heard of any cases where that still goes on.
No, all right.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
After all, it is, you know,
the business. Right.
Humanity.
Yeah.
And
right.
The annulment thing confuses me too, because, you know, the church does not agree with divorce. So if you go in, that's just like, what is an annulment? That the marriage never existed?
It evaporates.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it did.
Well,
but they're willing to look the other way and go, well, And that pretend
because that you're going in and kind of saying my marriage didn't work. I want to start anew. I mean, are there papers to fill out?
It was based on false pretenses. You know, I went in thinking one thing and that was not what it was. And so that annuls the marriage. I mean, that's a very distilled version of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it works, or why they are willing to, as you said, turn the other way.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's to them, it wasn't a valid marriage if it was based on lies or false
pretenses. But it's funny because in some of those cases, it was people like we knew that were married for 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. But then the church found a way to say, yeah, well, it didn't, you know, in our eyes, it never took place. Mm-hmm. But it did. You got kids and stuff.
Yeah.
So it did take place.
Yeah,
I know. And that's gets me confused about my religion a little bit, too. And we did pre-Cana before we got married, wanted a priest that we knew at our church. But we during the pre-Cana, we were asked, you know, do you two live together? And Jim and I looked at each other, not knowing what to say. And I'm like, I am not lying to a priest. So I said, yes. And I thought that he was going to say, then I can't marry you. And he didn't. And I know there are old school rules in the church. And I love what the Pope is doing, Pope Francis is doing, but I don't see these doctrines ever really being changed.
Right. Well, I mean, the doctrines may not change, but also, I mean, there are also little things that can be done. I call them little. They aren't that little. I mean, there are two situations right here in Chicago. Senator Dick Durbin has written to the Pope, wrote to the Pope shortly after his visit to the United States, because the cardinal in the Dominican Republic, in Santo Domingo, was using gay slurs mm-hmm. to criticize the U.S. ambassador, mm-hmm. Wally Brewster, who's from Chicago. And he was saying terrible derogatory things about him. Wally Brewster is an openly gay ambassador, actually married his partner the day he was sworn in as an ambassador. And nothing, as far as I know, nothing has been done. There has been no response. There has been no action, not even a slap on the wrist for the cardinal in Santo Domingo. That's not a change in doctrine. That's just asking for a slap on the wrist. Right.
Yeah.
That has not happened. Here in Chicago, two employees have filed federal complaints against the Chicago Archdiocese because they were fired from their jobs at Chicago parishes because they were in a same-sex partnership, a same-sex marriage, I should say. And shortly after they married their same-sex partner, they lost their jobs. And so, again, not a change in doctrine that they're calling for, just, you know, they're asking for what they believe is fair treatment
right.
as employees. So there's still a long way to go.
Yeah. A long way, but it just is, it's reassuring to see new breath coming from the new Pope in a way. It makes me feel proud as a Catholic to do that. And again, you know, don't think things are going to change overnight, because as Manya Brashear Pashman said, it's going to take a while, and that could be, you know, 5 years or 500 years, as you put it.
Exactly.
Quick break here, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We're talking with Manya Brashear Pashman, writes for the Tribune and has for, wow, since 2003. It's a long time.
Not bad. Congrats. Yeah.
We wanted to talk to you about the Pope saying the church should ask forgiveness for past treatment from gay people. I also wanted to read this one part. Manya had said the church teaches that homosexual tendencies are not sinful, but homosexual acts are, and that homosexuals should try to be chaste. Francis repeated a slightly modified version of the now famous "Who am I to judge" comment he made about gays on the first foreign trip after his election in 2013. The question is, if a person who has that condition, and I will address that word, who has goodwill or who looks, let me start this again. The question is, if a person who has that condition, who has goodwill and who looks for God, who are we to judge? And something lost a little bit in that translation. Condition in Italian could also mean like in that situation.
Exactly. Yes.
So,
because
yes,
condition almost sounds like an ailment of some
right.
sort, and that's
right.
that's inappropriate.
Right. I mean, yeah. that's it's intrinsically disordered has been a phrase associated with homosexuality in the past, and yeah. So when a word like that is misinterpreted, mm-hmm. It can cause more harm than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Before he became the Pope, did anyone see him being quite this liberal in his views, or is this a surprise?
I think this is a surprise. I will say My best source of information on that was a conversation I had with the late Cardinal Francis George. Cardinal George found a lot of Pope Francis's remarks early in his papacy to be very confusing, very ambiguous, and but confusing. That was the word that he used, because Pope Francis would say things like, "Who am I to judge?" and people would take it and run with it. And Cardinal George, who sadly never made it back to Rome after Pope Francis's election, he told me that he wanted to, because he wanted to sit down with the Pope and say, "What do you mean? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be a good cardinal. I want to be a good archbishop, but I'm confused, and because what you're saying is not clear to me." And he said that because, I mean, he said that in the same conversation that he said, "You know, when we elected him, he was not this way in Argentina. He shunned the media. He didn't do impromptu press conferences on the papal plane.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Pope they expected. It wasn't the Pope Cardinal George expected." So,
interesting.
I think this was a bit of a surprise. Yeah.
Well, I think there's hope, and that's what Pope Francis gives me. There's hope, and just honestly, what is it? Do unto others as you.
You can do it.
No, I can't. I've tried three times.
Come on.
Do unto others as you would like done unto you. That's not right.
That's similar.
Just be nice to people.
Be nice to people.
Really be nice to people. Thank you so much for coming up. It's a pleasure to meet you in person. We've talked to you on the phone.
Thank you.
Manya Brashear Pashman, and we can read you at the Chicago Tribune.
Yes, you can.
Thanks, Manya. Appreciate it.
Bless you.
A quick break, and then we'll find out what Roan and I have next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.